This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Revolution with Juan McCartney is sponsored by J.S. Johnson, Burger King, Commonwealth Bank, Marco's Pizza, Ron's Electric Motors, Scotiabank, and CG Atlantic.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. My name's Juan McCartney. So good to have you with us. We were yesterday talking about a particular discussion about culture in terms of not so much festivities, but just what our culture is and what our culture represents. We're going to take the next step or have the next segment of that discussion tomorrow. Today we're going to be talking about current affairs, but before we get into that, we're going to be talking with some of the folks from the PACE Foundation. The PACE Foundation has been around for a number of years now, and they are celebrating Character Day. The PACE Foundation, many of you would know, would be providing access to continued education. This is for teen mothers, especially. I have on the line with me Shirley Pinder, Sonia Brown, and S.C. Johnson, I am told. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Juan.
Courtney.
So good to have you with us. So first, explain to people what PACE is, and then we could get into more of Character Day and other stuff.
Okay, I'll get started. So I'm Sonia Brown. I'm the president of the PACE Foundation. And we work to support the PACE program. And this program has been in place since 1969, so about 52 years.
Wow.
This October.
Excellent.
Yes. And so we've impacted the lives of thousands of teenage mothers over the years, really working to get them back into school or employment or higher education. And one of the things that we observed is that we spend a lot of time working with them on their character strengths and building their self-esteem, letting them know that, you know, you're experiencing adversity, but you can keep going.
Excellent. All right. So how many young women would you say PACE has assisted throughout these 50 years?
We estimate it to be in the thousands. I don't have the exact number, probably 3,000 to 4,000 girls over the years. Is the best assessment I can give you.
Okay, excellent. Now, explain to us the need for this, because it would seem to me that the notion that teenage pregnancy somehow excludes you from the public school system may be somewhat outdated. Could you explain to us what undergirds, what the process is now?
So the students are asked to be removed from the mainstream school, but I must say that we have the full support of the Ministry of Education, Social Services, and the Ministry of Health. Ministry of Education provides the staffing So they provide all of the tiers, guidance counselors, et cetera. With the, I hear what you're saying about the concept being outdated. These students, though, are, they really do require some additional support mm-hmm. that would not be able to get into at, in a mainstream school setting.
Right.
You know, so they do parenting classes. They are educated on prenatal care, antenatal care. Some of them come from some very challenging circumstances. We have to advise them about registering their baby. You know, there is a multitude of things that they need. And in addition, they tend to also need some sort of financial assistance, food assistance. And every student is, of course, very, very different. And so the support that is provided at PACE is special indeed, but I want to assure persons listening that the school is committed to getting those students back into the mainstream setting as soon as it is possible, so they don't miss out on getting all of the subjects. So they do get subjects taught to them at ACE, but it's more like general education, math, English. They're not able to offer all of the subjects, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when they do return, the support at PACE continues. We stay with them as long as the girls want us to be a part of their lives.
Okay.
Right?
Excellent.
Yes. Yeah, so we stay them after they go to school. We've even assisted with nursery care, uniform, scholarships. The support continues.
Excellent. So tell us about Character Day.
All right. So Character Day is an initiative that started actually in San Francisco as an international event. We found out about it 6 years ago, and we have been organizing Character Day events ever since. We have a sponsor by the name of the Fulton World Charity Foundation, and they allow us, they have provided us with a grant that, that is planned 3 years that allows us to continue to promote this event. And so Character Day really is about, you know, just in looking at, you know, good character traits. They've developed materials such as the periodic table of character strengths. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so just to give your listeners some idea, you're looking about wisdom and courage, being honesty, soul responsibility. And so on Character Day, we have many groups who are celebrating. They would have seminars, virtual assemblies. Some of them volunteer or they make donations. It's really up to the group what they decide to do today.
I understand. So is your organization concerned from the standpoint that there should be more education among teen girls about sexual and reproductive health in terms of that might slow the rate of teenage pregnancy, or do you just approach it from the standpoint that you intercede once the girls become pregnant?
So the discussions around sexual and reproductive health are certainly a part of our program. Of course, we are interested in what we're doing in this COVID environment, but many of our former students, they would accompany the principal of the school and would go and discuss the pitfalls of teen pregnancy, early sexuality to primary school, high school, anybody who would listen.
Really excellent. Let's hear from some of your colleagues about Character Day and some of the work PACE does. Maybe Ms. Johnson? Do we still have Ms. Johnson with us?
Sorry, I was on mute. Good afternoon.
No problem. Afternoon.
As Sonia has alluded to, you know, this is a well-established event, and every year we hope that it grows greater and greater in the Bahamas. This year, we primarily have various organizations, particularly schools, because we believe that, you know, we can reinforce at a younger age good values and good character traits. It will be a better country eventually. And I think that Sonia was definitely the leader in bringing it. And even with dealing with the girls at the school, you know, just catering to the total person, character development is so important. And so it's not just, this is something that you can take into your workplace. You, like she said, letitripple.org is an organization. If you go to their site, in addition to characterdaybahamas.org, you can see different materials that can start discussions even amongst yourself as friends, as family members, as church members, as every institution can basically benefit from persons whose individual character is strengthened.
Absolutely. Well, I've never been pregnant, but I could imagine that for a teenage girl who is still undergoing the process of having just a basic secondary school education, it must be a very challenging and frightening set of circumstances. There's so much about the world that they do not know yet. There's so much about motherhood that they do not know yet. And they're sort of thrust into this kind of warp speed process of trying to grow up when they themselves are not grown.
Yes, and if I could add, like this year, one of the highlights, it's been for 2 years, this will be the second annual year where we're highlighting hidden heroes amongst ourselves. So even though we're the PACE Foundation and our focus is pregnant teens, this is broader. This is for everyone. And so, because basically even those teen girls come from society. So when we are able to be better as a society, you produce more responsible adults. And so the campaign, you know, especially after Dorian and COVID, you know, we wanted to focus and highlight our hidden heroes amongst ourselves. I'm going to segue back to Sonia to talk a little bit more about the Hidden Hero campaign.
Well, before we get too far into that, I want to bring Carolee into the conversation. She is a human resources consultant, and one, you mentioned about the girls, you know, entering the workforce and it being difficult if you have a basic education. And so we have actually also relied very heavily on our human resources professionals to assist our students and also prepare them for specifically for the workplace. And so again, we talk about how Character Day is not only for students. So I want Carolee to speak about the importance of character in the workplace.
Okay, thank you, Sonia. Definitely, character is important all around. And just as the PACE Foundation and others have, you know, focused on teens, focused on young people, the schools have played a real part. I think I wanna, you know, throw out a challenge to the business community, to organizations, to really step up their character development initiatives. And when we talk about character being important in the workplace, character, if we look at some of the strengths that have been identified by Dr. Martin Seligman, the researcher who really brought to bear the theory behind character strengths and developments. Some of those strengths are intelligence, gratitude, honesty, humility, leadership, fairness, creativity. And in a work environment, those are really sort of essential components that play and lend to strong leadership, as well as strong teamwork, good communication skills, and of course, emotional intelligence. And one in our work environments, when we see those types of character traits and strengths being showcased, it makes the work environment more conducive, first of all, for productivity and for high morale to exist. We also see that this type of environment will help employees produce better results and meet their goals. And then it lends to attracting prospective employees, retaining the employees you have, and even keeping your current employee pool motivated, productive, and confident. And what work environment does not want that? And so this is why I want to challenge and advocate that character development not only be looked at for teens and for children, but particularly for adults and in the workplace in particular. And so how can you foster character development in the workplace? There are several ways. One, an individual can decide to select one of their character strengths that they're strong in and that comes easy to them, and consider new ways to express the strength every day. And you can do this every day for a week period. And so you strengthen and you reinforce the display of the character's strengths that you have. That's one way that we can foster character development in the workplace. Another is through training and development. And whether through coaching or whether through training, we can focus on soft skills. And so the soft skills would lend to having persons develop an interest in what it means to have a love, a thirst for learning. What does it mean to exercise more creativity? What does it mean to employ enthusiasm in your day-to-day interaction? What does it mean to express gratitude and to be honest in all of your dealings as an employee? And then a third way we can foster character development for adults and in the workplace primarily is through mentorship. You know, modeling is key to character development with children, and it also bears true for character development in adults. And so if you have a mentor or you're assigned a mentor who exhibits the type of character that is admirable and that is conducive for someone to pick up on and imitate and want to inculcate as part of their interaction, this is truly a wonderful thing. And so in a nutshell, I would say, Mr. McCartney, that we want to have more training and coaching opportunities in the workplace. We want to see employees utilize their character traits and develop them on a daily and weekly basis. And we want to have more mentoring opportunities in our work environment, because character development in the workplace is essential.
Absolutely. I totally agree. I'm going to read you a text, and then this is my final question here. It says, good day. I was a teen mother and went to PACE in 1992. I went back to school, and I consider myself a success story. I'm happily married and have rental and fishing businesses. Thanks to the work they're doing, I'd like to assist the work. And so that's my final question to you. How do those who want to assist, how can they do so?
Okay. Well, first of all, thanks for that shout out.
Yes.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So, yes. So this is, well, the school is located on East Street in the vicinity of DeVoe Street. And the persons who are interested, I give my cell number. Time is 357-4724. They can also email us. It's a long email, PACEBahamasYDL@gmail.com. So just come to the school or give myself a call, and we would really be happy for the assistance.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, ladies, for coming on and shedding light on this and keeping the focus on this. It's a very important job that you're doing, and we appreciate that you're doing it.
Thank you so much.
All right. You guys have a great afternoon. It's a pleasure speaking with you.
Okay. Same here. Good afternoon.
Take care. All right. We're going to go to a break, and then we're going to be back, and we're going to be speaking some current affairs. Stay tuned.
Of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
Spooky season is officially here, and Marco's Pizza is offering you a spooktacular deal just for you, your family, and even your boo. Try our large one-topping pizza for only $10.50. Yes, one topping of your choice served on our fresh dough, fresh cheese, and signature sauce. This Halloween season, get spooked by Marco's Carryout Special. Every store, every day, the Italian way.
CG Atlantic Agents, how may I help you?
Yes, I want to know where to go to get third-party motor insurance.
Are you sitting down?
Yes.
Okay, could you put your feet up?
Okay.
Great. Just go to cgatlanticagents.com, where you can get a quote and buy your insurance online.
Relax. Now you can buy third-party motor insurance wherever and whenever you want. It's as easy as click, quote, buy. CG Atlantic Agents. Good like that. Nassau Insurance Brokers and Agents Limited. Trading as CG Atlantic Agents.
Throughout our lifetime, we must all make decisions. No matter how we choose, the right one just needs to be made. Like having J.S. Johnson Insurance Agents and Brokers as your insurance partner. We've been serving the Bahamas for over 100 years. Whether you need home, motor, marine, or commercial insurance, make the right decision. Call 397-2100 or visit jsjohnson.com.
J.S. Johnson Insurance.
You have a new text message from Scotia.
Scotiabank is adding text messaging to its communication channels to keep customers updated in quicker and safer ways. As of November 4th, Scotiabank will be using text messaging to provide notifications on the minimum payment required for your credit card and due dates. Customers may continue to access their credit card statements on Scotia Online or through our mobile banking app. Learn more by contacting customercare-bahamas at scotiabank.com or call 356-1697.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. So good to have you with us. I want to send a shout out to Megan Carey from Kirk McCartney, a.k.a. the Love Doctor, out there, Tarpon Bay, Eleuthera. Yesterday, I understand, was your birthday, so that's a special shout-out for you from the Love Doctor, Megan Carey. Happy birthday to you. All right, now, again, I wanna do something before I get into Current Affair, and this may be helpful, right, because I was thinking about it today. I follow on Instagram now that woman my wife was following, who says, like, how y'all do? Tabitha Brown is her name. So she's really, I'm kind of a fangirl of this lady. I'm like, oh, so interesting. You know what I mean? Like, she's such a positive outlook on life. But anyway, she often would say, like, the Lord put something on my heart to share with you. Or, you know, I don't know who needs to hear this. It's not one of those things per se, but I just want to help you. Sometimes we get involved in these conversations and they get very challenging and they get very stressful and they get very contentious, and that's okay, right? But I don't want them to necessarily be adversarial, right? So sometimes what we got to do is we got to reset. I think I talked to you about this before. And one of the ways you reset is to try to just center yourself, clear your mind. I don't know how many of you have studied Buddhism. There's a concept in Buddhism of the chakra, the energy centers of the body, and your mind can be made much clearer if you seek to unblock your third eye chakra. I'm not going to try to break down Buddhism in its entirety for you today, but there's a lot of merit to it. In Buddhism, for example, right, there is no self. The concept of self is meaningless, and the fact that people focus on themselves is what is believed to cause most of the suffering in the world. The concept is to realize that things aren't being done to you because there really is no you, right? There's no unchanging self that is you. It's all just a process and a flow and an ebb, right? So let's seek to, as we have these conversations, unblock our third eye, right? Now, if you're of the school of thought from most Western philosophy, then that's counterintuitive, right? Because Western thought says, I am the self and the self is I, right? So, but we can benefit from trying to unblock our third eye, clear our minds. I'm starting to get into meditation. clear our minds and let's try to start fresh in the conversation. Some people do other things. Some people burn sage, right? I'm going to start bringing that into the studio. Bring some sage. My wife has crystals. Maybe I'll set some of those up. Focus the energy. Anyway, I hope that that helps you to focus. It says, Wanda's in Tabitha Brown, the lady who retired her husband. Yeah. Yeah. And that's... My wife doesn't believe in headphones, right? So she'll be sitting next to me and just whatever's on Instagram I have to listen to or TikTok, which I don't know what that's about. But although I am on TikTok, but I'm on lots of stuff, but I don't actually use it like that. And so I would hear this woman saying, how y'all doing? How's everybody doing? Y'all all right? Very good, right? And it's just, it's infectious. And I started listening to her, and I was like, let me go check this lady out. She makes me feel good. And I wanna have that same sort of energy, that same sort of cleansing of the spirit, right? It's not always going to be that way, but I want to help you out with that too. So think about it. Think about when you're getting frustrated, when you're getting contentious, when you're very upset about what's going on in life, when you feel challenges weighing down on you. Try to clear your, unblock your third eye, your chakra, right? And try to let go and be mindful that though there is a self and there is you and things are happening to you and things are affecting you, that in the greater picture, you can consider that the universe is a constant thing that is bigger than just yourself. All right? See, I believe, I'm Christian, yes, but I believe you have to pull wisdom from other religions. So if a religion is speaking something that's wise, I don't think you should discard it. Well, we don't want to do that because, you know, the Muslims are doing it. You know what I'm saying? Let's not do it. You got to pull from what's out there. It says, you dared to even talk about another religion? You know there is no other religion than Christianity in the Bahamas. Do what you need to do. All right, so the first thing I want to talk about is the press conference, the OPM press conference that happened today. This is a text that is kind of critical of it, but I'm going to say I thought that it's a good start, right? There was not a great deal of concrete information. We heard a lot of positions that have already been stated. We heard a lot of things that we've already heard, and it would have benefited more had more cabinet ministers been there to actually answer questions, as opposed to asking Clint these positions, or it perhaps would have benefited more from them actually, some people actually, if they had deep questions about policy, about developments in government that go beyond, you know, Clint, they could have sent them to him before maybe, and he had said he wanted to do some of that. I wouldn't be sending them questions, but I could see how that could benefit some of the other reporters. I thought Jo Beth Colby Davis handled herself well, right? I didn't catch every second of it. But at one point, we just got to the point where we were just stating what is already known, and there wasn't actually news from it, but I think it's a good start. All right? I think it's a good start, and if we can get clear communication and clear answers, and maybe if I could just offer some advice, if Clinton knows that there are current events happening, you could double-check with Cabinet, get a briefing rundown, and see what might be in the works, and you could kind of feed some of what's in process that we wouldn't have gotten from asking the cabinet ministers ourselves to the public. And that may be beneficial as well. But I appreciate that Clint is trying this. I don't know why I think I had beef with Clint. I just had a disagreement with a certain part of it. But I think that this is a good development. And we should continue it. And Clint should try to keep the process going and refine it. And look, professional is professionally done. I'm not sure who the lady was who started talking about the CAP 26 conference. I didn't need any of that. No disrespect to you, ma'am. I don't need you to justify why the Bahamas is going. I don't think anyone asked you why the Bahamas was going, but you know, but I think it's a good start. All right, and I appreciate it, and I hope that he continues to work at it. All right. It says, Juan, not sure how to rate Clint's first press briefing other than to say it had no concrete policy pronouncements, and Clint was his usual self, full of fluff and non-substance. I rated a 5 out of 10. I'm not going to diss Clint. I'm not going to do it, all right? I think that it perhaps ran maybe a tad too long to the point that we were just getting positions that have already been stated in the public domain, all right? And so Mike, only thing is I'd want a bit more meat, all right? That's me, okay? Says, I love Miss Brown also. She has a contagious, lively spirit. Yeah, man, she's great. She's just happy. Like, how can I be this happy? Like, that's my quest in life. Good day, Juan. Great show. I want you to remember that the road to hell is paved with good intentions. Don't have itchy ears. Guard your heart and mind. Third eye deals with witchcraft. Sounds like you need deliverance from all the religions. Hello, aren't you Christian? Stay focused, my brother. Witchcraft? How'd you get witchcraft from Buddhism? How do you? No, man, go read up on Buddhism and Zen. It's not witchcraft, right? Zen's like a popular form of Chinese Buddhism. Like, a lot of people are Buddhists in the world. They ain't dealing with witchcraft. So, I'm just saying. Okay, let's talk about National Review now. Okay, so Kendi Adams interviewed Prime Minister Davis. She called him at his house. He picked up the phone. This is why I was like, I don't know why y'all think like Brave Davis is super inaccessible. Like, I'm sure he's got much more levels of security now that he's Prime Minister, but I've been to his house several times. This says, Prime Minister Philip Brave Davis has spent his initial weeks in office managing expectations and dismissing some who think they have claims to entitlement in the wake of the Progressive Liberal Party's September 16th election victory. Uh-oh, right? Oh, you wouldn't expect him that, were you? You thought, that's it, nah. Brave in, I said. Apparently not. Davis, in his first interview with National Review as Prime Minister, said, I've been around long enough. I understand characters, but there are always some things that surprise you. I'd love to know. I'd love to hear more about that. It says, though the new Prime Minister did not expand on the statement, it was a hint that he has had to push back some who viewed the victory as an opportunity for political patronage. Davis, who took a phone call at home on the weekend, discussed the challenges he and his colleagues met upon assuming office 1 month ago. In doing so, he put to rest any concerns or speculation that access to him would be blocked or limited. But the media access issue was not one we raised during our conversation, given that it is now clearly moot. As expected, the immediate challenges and focus of the government have been the COVID-19 pandemic, the fiscal crisis, and the economic maelstrom. Davis, who is Minister of Finance, is awaiting a review of the country's finances and preparing to present a supplemental budget to Parliament as early as 1 week from now. Asked what he has found most surprising since he became Prime Minister, he said, I knew that the health system was collapsing, but I didn't expect it to be as bad as it is. The lack of attention that has been paid to the healthcare system and services being provided has been a shocking discovery for me. We anticipated a lot of challenges, but we didn't expect it to be as bad as it is. That's been very challenging, and there was clearly a lack of leadership attendant to that crisis that we have on our hands because we appreciate nothing is going to be able to get done, although we're trying to balance it all, unless we get our health crisis stabilized and addressed more proactively to normalize the issues that attend to it. Don't you just love how, like, he can speak in, like, sensible sentences? Like, aren't you a bit ashamed that the bar had dropped so low that now that someone can actually speak clearly, although he's not given a great deal of detail, but he can elucidate his thoughts clearly. Now that we have someone who just simply can speak like they have some sort of grasp of what is going on, aren't you ashamed that we feel good about that? It says he acknowledged resources to shore up the healthcare system remain a serious concern. Dr. Michael Darvill, who's been on a tour of the Family Islands, has been discovering the true state of facilities, the Prime Minister said. He said part of the challenge is resources, too, because it's not just the operational services that's challenging, but the infrastructure of the healthcare system has also been collapsed. In a state of complete disrepair, there is clearly neglect in paying attention to it over the last 4 years. His report on the Family Island visits again exposes the lack of attention that has been paid to the health infrastructure. And so the challenge now is for us to find the financial resources to address all of these concerns. I need to, I'm going to find Darvill actually here shortly, and I want to talk about it. Okay? So let me explain, all right, further about this. And so I'll direct you to the headline story of the Nassau Guardian. Former government forgot to order more vaccines. Now, I'm not for people losing their livelihood, but I gotta say, how does whoever was responsible for that still have that position if they do, if this is true? How do you forget to order more vaccines? And you know what? I believe him. Is what it is. I believe him. Right, how do you do that? You know? Someone forgot to order more paper, so we can't print the newspaper. Like, that's just should be basic. Oh, vaccine supplies are running low. Let's order more. Correct? I believe him, because my understanding is that the freezers for the Pfizer vaccine had only come to us because of intervention made to the United States Embassy. And that while Wells was saying for months that they were on their way, I understand that that was not the case. So if the freezers couldn't get organized through the Ministry of Health, I could believe that somebody dropped the ball. Now, I'm going to say, I want to know why my good Gaudiani, Dr. Mercilyn Dalregis, wouldn't have picked up on that or have said something about it, but I don't know the level of involvement she would have had, even though she's, I believe, co-chair of the vaccine committee, if I recall correctly. So I believe him. And I think that, and you're going to get mad at me, I think that Minnis should, like, stop talking about the dealing with the COVID-19 pandemic. We don't think you did a good job. So why are you now, we don't think you have the solutions, right, or the recommendations that are going to drive us forward in terms of COVID-19. Let me get some of your text messages. And you can call me if you'd like to as well. 323-6232. This is one person in the whole government BS. I believe him, though. I believe him. I don't know how it could happen, right? That you can't order the vaccines, right? I don't know. But I've seen such gross incompetence in how many of our state agencies are run, that I can buy this. All right, I'm gonna call him and ask him who it was, and if they and why they would still be in the position if that's the case. But I can buy it. I won't lie to you. This is. I tell you, I'm loving Brave Davis, and I've never voted PLP. If his actions prove his words, who knows? I may be waving blue and yellow pom-poms in 5 years. It says, Juan, your boy Minnis can cook all the stewfish he want. No, it's great that PM Davis has more to talk about when approached by the press than stewfish and fishing for the moon. Yeah, it's a breath of fresh air. I won't lie to you. This says, Juan, Clint won't like how y'all gone behind him to have interview with the PM. Press secretary will send a letter from his office to the Guardian. Hello. He answered the phone. And you know who was like that too? Ingram. And also Christie. You could call Christie at his house. Right? And he'd answer the phone. Says, great show as usual, Juan. You trying out different religions now? LOL. No. I'm set. I'm good. Well, I've studied several major religions. I'm good. I'm just saying, you know, let's try to clear our minds, all right? Y'all think chakras are demonic. I don't know. Anything is not Christian, y'all, is demonic. Chakras have long established premise in Buddhism. This says, just don't try the religion that allows you to have more than one wife because you'd get beat. Worse than Howard wife is beat him. Islam, right? You can be polygamous. Yes? Says, this is the same Davis, while in opposition, knew nothing about the skullduggery under the Christie administration, but now as PM, he's acting brand new and seems to know everything. Huh? What a laugh. Well, I mean, I get that Davis may not be your cup of tea, but I mean, is there some skullduggery that's going on now? This says, it's easy, Juan. I worked in organizations where critical milestones were missed because no one was watching. It just signifies issues with management. I also looked at the actual dashboard as opposed to reading newspaper accounts of the dashboard. Juan, I believe that there are serious issues with data collection. That data is confusing and short of providing real insights. I think Wells and Minnis screwed up way bigger than we know, possibly. And here's the thing. And this is, like I told you, I've seen just crazy stuff happen in government agencies. For instance, we got downgraded by the European, or I'm sorry, blacklisted by the European Union because the correct person didn't write a letter. Right? Marlon Johnson responded to the EU. And the EU said, nope, you're blacklisted because we want a political. And they said they wrote back and said, we want a political commitment to these things. And so then Peter Turnquist had to write him because he's a policymaker. They're like, I don't want to talk to a bureaucrat. And that one action caused us blacklisting. We got off it after some drama, but it's fine. This says, wow, Candia took the gloves off right away. Not sure what that texter was saying about witchcraft, but comparative theology speaks to spiritualism of the third eye, transcendental meditation, etc. But I don't know about being synchronistic with Christianity, though, as none of the world's religions promote pluralism. Right. And I'm not saying that I'm a Buddhist. Why can't I say, like, benign statements, like you can try to clear your mind and not have debates. And I'm not saying that you're being weird with me. I'm not saying I'm a Buddhist. I'm just saying that I'm trying to practice mindfulness meditation, which is something a lot of Buddhists do. I'm not saying I'm like gonna go start like drinking blood, which is not something Buddhists do, but I'm not saying that. I'm not saying let's go whole hog Buddhism, but it can help. I'm telling you this. And you know, you can call it what you want. You can call it soul searching. You can call it self-reflection. It says, I've seen press statements in the news recently from ministers in the open downtown area. I thought this was supposed to stop. No, nothing stopped is what I'm explaining to you. It wasn't necessary. All right. Islam practices polygyny, not polygamy, the one true religion. Yeesh. All right. We got We'll talk religion one day. I'm not scared, right? More so than religion, right? We'll talk philosophy, if you will. All right? We got to take a break. We'll be back. We're going to talk more about Davis and some other issues when we come back.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. We were talking different aspects of governance. I gotta tell you, I think that Ginger Moxie is gonna do pretty well in politics, right? Because here's what you do. So Grandmama Utility Company says that Grandmama Power Company says that they have applied for a rate increase, right, to the Grand Bahama Port Authority, which is its regulator, right? And so automatically people in Grand Bahama go, what? We can't afford more electricity. You're not providing the proper services now that we want. And so Moxie, I don't know if anyone asked her about it, but it seems unprompted, releases a statement that's very, you know, lucid and appears well thought out and says that the Davis administration does not support any electricity rate increase on Grand Bahama. Now, here's why I say she's going to do well. Because she knows, she's saying this, and it's smart of her and them. They're saying this because they know that the rate increase is not on the government of the Bahamas. So the position is, we don't support the rate increase, but if the rate increase happens, then you got the out to say, well, it wasn't us. We don't control what the Port Authority does in that regard. Will the rate increase happen? I don't know. We'll see. This says... Oh, Lord, y'all sending me scripture now? Oh, Lord. I'm going to come here and talk about, like different flavors of chocolate chip cookie, and I'll get people, like, fired up for some reason. It's me. I think it's me. It's what it is. You can call me, by the way, 323-6232. 325-4316 and 325-4259. It says Buddhism is not a religion, it's a philosophy. Oh, they trying to start me up. What is your definition of religion? Buddhism is an organized system of belief that postulates an ultimate truth about the universe. Right? For the Four Noble Truths. It has many worshipers around the world who identify as their belief system as being Buddhist in nature. What is your definition of a religion? I believe if you put three different religious scholars in the same room and ask them what religion is, you more than likely will get three varying answers. We're going to have that discussion one day, though. All right, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. Let's go to the phone lines really quickly. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Good afternoon. You see what you're going to start at once?
I know, man. I should have just let... I was just trying to be helpful.
Well, you know, the thing about it is those are the issues that we really, really feel some uncertainty about. Politics and religion.
Yep, absolutely.
So you're going to have a conversation with whatever, with those topics, simply because no one knows who is the creator of all of this. No one knows who's the best politician. We're all trying to find our way in this life. And I like how you talked about the third eye. Mm-hmm. Because, well, you know, some of us really need to open that and open that pretty wide. And before we look anywhere else, just look inside.
I got you. Excellent. Okay. I appreciate you. Yes, absolutely. It's very interesting how these conversations go a different way. This says, Buddhism does not invoke God as necessary to achieve nirvana. No, but Buddhism is based upon the teachings of an extra, let's say, human being. Buddha, right? So if you're following those teachings of this person you say is not a normal human being, who's a supernatural being essentially, then you kind of got a little conundrum on your hands. But I like that you guys are into different things, right? You're complex, varied individuals, many of you. It's good to know. Thoughtful. Says, all I'm saying is our entire life battle is fought in the mind. It's not annoying. It's not the annoying neighbor or a coworker. The battlefield is our mind. So be careful what you let in through the eyes, ears, mouth, etc. I'm afraid for these people who mindlessly follow the pastor, the swami, the sheikh, the political leader. You just handed over your most powerful weapon to some. That's a big tenet of Buddhism too. Right? That the body, this external world, is a temporary thing, right? That your concept of self is being tied to this body that is only temporary, that is dying from the moment it is brought into this world, is a flawed one, and that you need to concern yourself with bigger truths in the universe and trying to move toward enlightenment. Lord have mercy. All right. It says, it's a religion. I'm not disputing it. Was only sharing. LOL. I studied it for a whole semester. Okay, well, good. It says, buddy, be careful. You might get burned at the stake talking this other religion stuff. All right, let's get back to what we're saying. All right, we got some more text. This says, James 1:27, King James Version, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Yep. This says, good afternoon, Juan in the Bahamas. Relentless, I shall continue to be with the Lord's blessings of life and my quest to those that are able to help bring about opportunities and access for musicians and entertainers. Musicians must be able to work beyond a few special occasions. Hence, having stability to perform and earn is pivotal for musicians and entertainers. Just as in any other legal profession, the government policies must be of benefit to all Bahamians. Thanks, Juan, for giving my message a voice. No problem. It says, hey, bro, great show. I agree with meditation. I'm also looking into this as well. The third eye concept is a real thing. Okay, let's continue with National Review and what the Prime Minister had to say. And so he's had, you know, a month now to kind of grasp the lay of the land, right? Now, his primary concern is the healthcare system and the pandemic, and he says the healthcare system is in a state of collapse, which isn't necessarily new. We were told that during the previous administration by healthcare officials, okay? The numbers have gone down. They're going to start the free testing on Inagua here shortly. And the hospitalizations have gone down. Unfortunately, a lot of that is because many people have died. But the system is still strained, all right? So he's trying to have Darvill look at all that and tell him what the best way forward is and get the financial resources. Now, Darvill did say that Minnis agreed to a $40 million loan, I believe it was from the IDB, the day before the last election, I believe he said. And he actually thanked him for it because then he said he would have had to ask the government to come up with emergency funding to get the money. How he will use that money remains to be seen. Now, as you know, Brave Davis, the Prime Minister, has said that they're going to have to recast the budget, right? So what he's saying is that when the budget was passed in Parliament, it forecasted a set of circumstances that he does not believe to be realistic. So he does not believe that, this is what I'm hearing, he does not believe that they need to engage or that they should engage or will be able to engage in the level of spending that has been forecast. If you would note, the government was trying to get a nearly $800 million loan. I believe it was from Banco Central. I can't remember the name of the bank. But anyway, it was being facilitated through the World Bank. And that was kind of up in the air as far as if we were going to get that. And that was going to fund the majority of the deficit. We're at about $3 billion in spending. Davis doesn't think that's going to... Joe Beth Colby just now, she's basically saying she's not certain what will happen with the homes for young professionals, because she said $5 million that was budgeted for that. Do you go ahead with that? Do you sort of shift up the program as in terms of, I've got to figure out the infrastructure issues yourselves? This doesn't think the revenue projections are solid. Okay? He doesn't think the revenue projections are solid. He doesn't see where we're going to get this revenue from with taxation or with borrowing, which is interesting to me because he's promised to lower the VAT rate. My understanding is that they are going to go hard on real property tax collection. All right, which to me ain't a problem. Thankfully, I could still pay my real property taxes, but for some, that may be a problem. Now, you don't pay real property tax on properties in New Providence, owner-occupied properties in New Providence, under 250. And to be real with you, like a $250,000 home, and I'm trying to be elitist or whatever like that, isn't some sort of sprawling home that, you know, upper-middle-class people would have today. Like, you could, a $250,000 home could be pretty basic. Depending on when and where it was built. So he may have success collecting that from the middle class. However, here's how you do it. And I'm not trying to give them ideas on how to shake money out of you, but here's how you do it, right? So they had talked about the concept of a national ID, right? So everyone in the Bahamas gets a national ID. I don't know why everyone in the Bahamas can't just use their national insurance number as their national ID, but that's just me. I don't know why you need to generate new numbers, but maybe they will use your national insurance number. So everyone in the Bahamas gets a national ID. So to access government services, you need to present your national ID. To register your car, you got to present your national ID card, right? So road traffic is saying, okay, well, great. You got to apply online. So what's going to happen is they're going to have somebody search and they're going to go, and the system is supposed to be integrated to the point where it goes, okay, this person owes real property tax. you can't license your car until you pay your real property tax. All right? That's how you make that work. You can't, you have a business license. I need to know who's the beneficial owner. Here's your national ID. We're not going to allow you to register your business license if you don't pay up your real property tax or enter into an agreement to pay. Like, that's how you could get that done. Will they do that? I don't know, but I understand they're going to go hard on real property tax. Here's what the Prime Minister said. He said, and this is the other component of it, the debt. The Prime Minister said, there's really no plan to address our debt situation. And it seems that the only strategy was to try to borrow our way out of it, which is not just a lazy way out, but it's a very dangerous way out. Because at the end of the day, you got to pay that back. And the only way to be able to do that is to have an economy that can sustain our public services and at the same time repay the debts that we owe. Therein lies some of the challenges. We're still trying to get a handle on all of these. We have someone now doing an independent review of the true state of the fiscal situation because we are unable to determine what we've met. Now, that sounds scary. You're unable to determine what you've met. And we've had fiscal strategy report. We've had fourth quarter fiscal snapshot. We are concerned that he is saying that they're unable to determine what they've met. Like, how does that happen at the Ministry of Finance? Okay? Davis says, and let me say something about the debt really quickly here. He's in a really tricky position, as was the former Minister of Finance, who I am certain didn't know what he was doing in that regard. He's in a menace, not Turnquest. He's in a really tricky position because here's what's true. In just a couple of years here, just a few years here, you're going to have balloon principal repayments of debt in the hundreds of millions of dollars. How are you planning on finding that money if not through borrowing? And the strategy for that, well, they were going to do a fiscal management transaction on the balloon payment to try to ease that on down the road. That may still happen. We'll see. The issue with that is we were planning on paying back the foreign debt, which is the big looming elephant in the room, by converting it to domestic debt in the area of $3 billion or $3 to $4 billion over the next like 4 years. Is there even that level of demand for domestic debt? They just recently had an issuance of, oh, I can't remember the exact number. I want to say $32 million in government bonds. And the buy-in was low, $100. You know what I mean? The interest rate was, I believe, 3.2%. That's not great, but it's better than the banks. If you got some money on fix in the bank, you're getting nothing on it. You're paying them to keep your money. Government the bonds, you know, might want to look at. Go talk to CFAL. Let them advise you. Because that's who sends me the updates. All right. So Davis says that we are now in the process of addressing and finding, trying to identify, for example, the basis on which they settled on what the revenues will be. In other words, their revenue numbers, in some instances, they appear to have been understated, and in some instances, they appear to be overstated. And again, in respect to the expenditures appear likewise to be overstated or understated. Now, I would like to understand. So he says, we're now in the process of having each of the ministries put in a submission, and I hope to be able to have our supplemental budget when we go back to Parliament on the 27th. All right? Now, to say that in some instances they appear to be understated, in some instances they appear to be overstated for revenue, and in some instances expenditures appear to be overstated and understated, and to not give areas where that is and the rationale behind that, I'm happy that you told us that, but it is concerning to me that you're not stating with some specificity what you're saying. What revenue was overstated? VAT revenue? Proceeds from borrowing? financial transaction revenue? What are we talking about here? And which areas? Because some areas would be more weighty than others, VAT being the biggest revenue generator. Okay. He says, I'm not here to blame anyone for where we are, and I'm trying to move the country forward. This is not a blame game. Governance is about choices and priorities, and clearly they made their choices and their priorities. And we can criticize them and say we would have done something differently, but that is their choice and their priority. At the appropriate time, we will make a complete statement on how we met the country, and then we will leave it there in the public domain, and we will move on to pursue our goals and plans and priorities as set out in our economic plan and blueprint. Okay, so he's saying that they are going to present to the country what they met in place, and then they're going to move on. Now, that is a different tactic from the former administration. The former administration, you know, continuously spent years talking about what they meant in place and what happened, and et cetera. We'll see if that holds true, what Davis is saying. We'll see if they don't take that approach. We'll see if a cabinet, they will say, here's what we meant, we're going to move on, right? Now, here's the thing. Davis is the first prime minister in, when did Ingram change the budget date? Somebody tell me. 93, 94, when was it? The budget year used to be the actual, the fiscal year used to be the actual calendar year. And Ingram came in and changed it. And in fact, there was some contention about if it was constitutional to do that, I believe at the time. But anyway, Davis is the first administration since, I would say, first prime minister since, I would say, Perry Christie's first term in office, who wouldn't be coming in and have to pass a budget that essentially wasn't theirs, where most of the stuff had already been allocated, most of the stuff had already been set. So he now is 7-8 months away from, he's about May. He's about seven or so months away from having, he has about 7 months to put his budget together. All right. Even if he reclassed this budget as a supplementary budget, he can't come to Parliament next May and read the budget communication and go, well, we just got here, so we don't know, because that's what we've heard before. Right. He's saying that now, we just got here, we didn't know, but there's no way you can come to Parliament in May and read a budget communication. There's no way any of them could come, having had 7 months to plot it out and see the lay of the land, could come and say, well, we didn't know, and this is what I meant. No, you could say, here's what's happened over the last 7 months or 7 or 8 months from when we met in place, but you cannot say that this is somebody else's budget, that the circumstances around this budget were something that we didn't have any control over. You can't say that. All right? Let's do some text messages. It says, we can learn a lot from other religions. We need to stop being so close-minded. I believe in Christianity, but it's also the youngest religion. Christianity's older than Islam, but it's younger than Buddhism for certain. It's waking up at 2 and 3 in the morning and can't get back to sleep. Meditation seems to help, bro. Keep up the good work. Thanks. All right. This says, Deuteronomy 32:39, King James Version. See now that I, even I, am he, and there is no God with me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand. Okay. Thank you. This says, I've said this before, VAT to 10% for a year, then at least 15% afterward. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. It says, Jesus, Buddha, and Muhammad were having a conversation when a blind, crazy man ran past. Jesus asked, what was that? Buddha asked, who was that? And Muhammad replied, that was our creator. That's interesting. It says, hey, Juan, I just tuned to your show. So, Juan, if my house value $250,000, I have to pay property tax. My house was built in 72 in Golden Gates number 2. If you are over the age of 65, I believe it is, you can apply for a real property tax exemption. I don't know the value of your home. Here's the thing, though. The government isn't going off what your home is appraised at. They're going at what they consider your home to be worth. Okay? But yes, if your home's over $250,000, you are going to pay real property tax. Over the $250,000. Hey, Juan, National Lotto could make a lot of money for government, but you know the deal. Mo money, mo problems. I mean, that may be true. You'd have to show me a study on that to show me the feasibility of that. It says, Juan, they better buy Bitcoin when the market falls to pay back that debt. All-time high today. Yeah, Bitcoin's been going crazy. It says, why does this dome of wisdom descend upon politicians with all the answers to all problems once they're voted out of office? 5 years is a long time to act and make things happen. Take your pensions, disappear, let others do what you are incapable of, get knighthoods and be legends in your own minds. Nobody's into you anymore. Okay. Says they should have had the person speaking name, etc., on the screen for the conference. MP so-and-so, area so-and-so. This says, truth is, this administration probably met a total mess and is unsure which part of the doggone boat has the biggest leak, so stay tuned. This says, yes, they did it when we wanted our business license. We had to pay up our property taxes or show proof of us making payments. Yeah, and I'm speaking as a sinner because I, too, have been negligent in paying my real property taxes. My excuse is I haven't gotten a bill because I haven't checked the mailbox in a really long time. But I do believe that you should pay your real property tax. Now, we can have this debate over how you arrive at this value for my home, because it's more so if you say my home is worth XYZ and I'm paying real property tax on it, and can I get that on the open market is the question. All right, you can call me 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. I wonder what you guys think about Davis's remarks on the budget. It's always very convenient tactic to say, well, we didn't know what it was. All right. And the issue with Davis, the challenge he's going to have is coming back to people in May of next year, and forecasting a new budget that he's going to have to take ownership of. All right, there's just no getting around it. So we're going to see how that all fleshes out. Now, I got a couple other things I want to talk to you about. All right. So there's a little bit of a hubbub, right, about a little bit of a hubbub about the Prime Minister's wife now assuming her role in the office of the spouse after she herself had questioned it previously. Now, I mean, you know, do we need an office of the spouse? I don't know. You know what I mean? But it's, now, when we asked about it, it comes on the Ministry of Foreign Affairs. Mitchell said, and the PLP was critical of it when it came about. Fred Mitchell said that it's mandated by CARICOM. Now, I don't understand that to be the case. I understand that the spousal action network or whatever of CARICOM was established as part of a mandate by CARICOM to advance the causes of women and girls. That's my understanding. Because last I checked, CARICOM can't mandate us to do nothing. Like, if CARICOM came right now and said, all CARICOM countries have to have a prime minister, have to have a president, we'd say, please, stop talking foolishness. If CARICOM came right now and said, all the mandate is for all CARICOM countries to end the death penalty, we'd say, dude, that don't come before you. You understand? So when you're talking mandates, I could see you saying there's a mandate to protect the interests of women or advance the interests of women and girls. Sure. Like, there's a mandate to really push for fossil fuel reduction so that small island development states don't go underwater, but they can't tell us what to do. It's honestly, I don't think it's a big deal. Like, she questioned the need for it, which is a reasonable thing, and she said she would reach out to Patricia Minnis, who was there at the time, to see if she could help her, but it doesn't seem like a huge controversy to me. All right, I'll be interested to see what she does in the role, though. Let's go to the phone line. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hey, Vaughn, how you doing?
I'm great. How's it going?
Okay. Now, in this forum that you go and with, we didn't put you there now to talk to help. But the thing about it is, if you're going to tax this and you're going to borrow now, as a matter of fact, I meant to say I didn't put you there, Prime Minister, to talk to help. But if you're going to borrow, you got to show us how you're going to pay this money back. That's what you got to do in this forum. So I'm going to be listening. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Okay. All right.
Then. Like, good. You got to have a debt management strategy, right? You got to. It says, one, there's a deeper issue at play here. Collecting what is outstanding on taxes, et cetera, is great. This will pick up the property tax. But sustained collection of increased amounts is what is required. The truth is that the country is low tax revenue and low on expenditure. That reduction of 1 year becomes tricky politically. Increasing it back is going to be challenging. $3.7 billion in debt due by 2026. IMF is concerned about stagflation. How shall we grow to make this possible? Look at the supply chain issues now. Inflation will be out the roof by next year. The picture is not pretty. Finally, consider when the emergency orders expires in November and the law which restricted furlough employees from triggering redundancy goes away. Complex issues at play here. Very complex. Indeed, complex issues. But here's what I think is going to happen with the redundancy law. Because they asked Clint about it today. I'm not sure he understood the ramifications of at the end of the question that was being asked. But he said, you know, they follow the law. Here's the thing. If the emergency orders end, I'm going to go to the line here in a second. If the emergency orders end and there are no laws to protect people who have been adversely impacted by the pandemic, you're going to have further economic calamity, right? So if everybody's got to pay out all the redundancy all at one shot, a lot of businesses will fold, right? And frankly, you'd have to see them in court. They could get into receivership. You may not see your money for a long, long time, right? If when the emergency orders end, if everybody who hasn't licensed their car for 2 years has to pay their license or they start getting ticketed, you're going to have complex problems, right? So you got, beyond the health concerns, there are legitimate fiscal concerns that need to be addressed in the legislation that they claim will be replacing the emergency orders. So they can't just let them end without any protections for anyone. I believe it would be harmful. We got a break? Let's take the call and then we break. No, we'll do the call and then we break. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hey, what are you doing, my brother?
Hey, I'm good. How's it going?
I'm fine, man. I am not going to worry today, right? But I can ask you one question.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, you say about taxes and all kind of things, right? Yeah. I'm not the one paying taxes because I believe a lot of people have millions and millions of dollars in this country and ducking taxes in their own country and in our country.
Yeah.
But let me give you an idea. I got a passport. I got a wooden card. I got a driver's license. I got an NIB card. Whatever have you. How much more IDs do you want me to have, man? That doesn't make no sense to me, but you're saying, but it's national ID.
Yeah, I would say consolidate them.
You know, cause, see, it doesn't make no sense because everything's supposed to be hooked up to all these government agencies. Now, I agree with you. Don't attack Georgia. Who don't make for the NIB and the water? the one get open his legs and can't get car and show and I said, I agree to 150% of the seat, but he can't keep taxing us. One, we poor, we ain't got no money. And that's what I call it, the river, brother. That's so usual.
Okay, thanks a lot. We're going to take this break and then we'll be right back.
Nassau and Pepsi want to bring you a fun day on us. Upgrade your favorite combo and get a chance to win great prizes like staycations at Atlantis or Baja Mar, powerboat adventure excursions, or a Blue Lagoon dolphin encounter. You can also win a relaxing day at Sandy Toes or a VIP movie experience at Fusion. Upgrade your combo at any of Burger King Nassau's 7 locations and enter to win online at bk242.com. Win fun days with Pepsi and Burger King, where taste is king.
You have a new text message from Scotia.
Scotiabank is adding text messaging to its communication channels to keep customers updated in quicker and safer ways. As of November 4th, Scotiabank will be using text messaging to provide notifications on the minimum payment required for your credit card and due dates. Customers may continue to access their credit card statements on Scotia Online or through our mobile banking app. Learn more by contacting customercare-bahamas@scotiabank.com or call 356-1697.
At Ron's Electric Motors, they repair and rewind all major brands of electric motors, including water pumps, generators and generators back end, welding machines, electric lifts, air compressors, battery chargers, and more. They're equipped to handle up to 850 kilowatts and rewind up to 450 horsepower motors. They're conveniently located on the corner of Wolf and Clarence Roads and are open weekdays 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Saturday till noon. They offer 24 hours emergency assistance. You can reach them at 242-356-0249.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
CG Atlantic Agents, how may I help you?
Yes, I want to know where to go to get third-party motor insurance.
Are you sitting down?
Yes.
Okay, could you put your feet up?
Okay.
Great. Just go to cgatlanticagents.com, where you can get a quote and buy your insurance online.
Relax. Now you can buy third-party motor insurance wherever and whenever you want. It's as easy as click, quote, buy. CG Atlantic Agents. Good like that. Nassau Insurance Brokers and Agents Limited. Trading as CG Atlantic Agents.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to The Revolution. We were talking about the budgetary issues, the tax issues, because, and you know, I understand that it's not always like the sexiest thing to talk about, but make no mistake, these issues will impact your life and do impact your life. This is one. The problem is not with tax collection, it's the friends and relatives issue. Your idea for tax collection makes sense, but in our country, laws and requirements only apply to the select few, the political elites, the PEPs, and the politically exposed persons, and wealthy live in a different Bahamas than the rest of us do. We see it in every facet of this country. Yep, we do. Listen, I gotta tell you, if it weren't for several streams of income, I wouldn't be able to have as comfortable a life as I do. I'm not going to lie to you. I don't know how people make it out here with just your average run-of-the-mill job. I really don't. Okay, let's go to the phone line. Good afternoon. Welcome to The Revolution.
Yeah, pleasant. Good afternoon, Warren. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. How's it going?
I'm doing fine, thank you. Good afternoon to the nation.
Mm-hmm.
Just thought I would join in and help you out with some points on this taxation situation.
Sure.
Looking at real property tax and picking up of the last point, I want to make some key observations and then add some thoughts.
Sure, go ahead.
that I feel would deepen the conversation.
Go for
it. And that would lead in the direction that the government should be. I remember when we were first looking at implementing the tax under the Christie administration. I mentioned this on your show before. I would have had a conversation with the Minister of State for Finance at that time, Parakitas, where I would have expressed to him that I believe one of the things that we need to consider is the equitable application of the VAT tax, even at 7.5% or 7.5%. I believe that that's where the difference would have been made, that would have split the hairs and ensure that it was more equitable for those who have more to be able to pay more, and for those who have less to not pay the same amount as those who have more. We have still not resolved that problem to this day. Further studies have to be done in order to resolve that problem so that the government can determine what is the best approach to ensure that that level of thinking is applied where VAT is concerned. Mm-hmm. Once we do that one, we would find that the government will certainly realize minimum the amount of tax that we have on the books currently. It won't lose anything. However, there is a possibility that it could gain more taxes, but most importantly, what it would do is ensure that those who are least able to pay aren't burdened equally as those who are far more than those who are least able to pay. Mm-hmm. Now, getting back to the point that you follow what I just expressed?
I got you.
Okay, now getting back to that last point that you left off at before your break, I want to elaborate on that, please, quickly. You would have expressed that once this exigency or emergency order is up, if the government doesn't put in place some support policies, persons are going to fall flat, and that's going to create another level of burden on persons who are least able to, because then those bills become due. For instance, you use the licensing of the vehicle tax that would have been on hold for about 2 years up to that point, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go back to a point that you made earlier where you were talking about the government and real property tax. And you made a recommendation where you were suggesting what they needed to do in order to collect it. If you don't have this paid up, you can't get this license, et cetera, for your vehicle.
Right.
One, that would have the same impact of what you were trying to avoid in your last recommendation. Because if persons are unable to access their vehicles, which in many instances they may need to get to work in order to get paid that salary, or to conduct their business because their vehicle is a primary part of conducting a business, that would create a calamitous financial impact flowing downward.
Stick a pin in that right there. So let me explain to you what I believe is a flaw in your logic, right? So you only pay real property tax on properties over $250,000, right?
Right.
So most people who have properties over $250,000 would probably be able to afford the real property tax and afford the car licensing. Or do you not think so?
No.
I'm not talking about people who are renting. I'm not talking about people who are low-wage workers.
Yeah. I understand, because those who are renting would not fall into the category of paying that real property tax in the first place.
Right.
So it's only property owners who would fall into that category.
Right.
And one, what you would find in any analysis, any financial analysis, is that the persons who are paying the brunt or the majority of the taxes in the country are actually the middle class and the upper middle class.
Yeah,
Those are the people who are caught paying the most of the taxes. Those are the people who are running most of the small and medium-sized businesses in the country. It's not the large companies one. It's the middle class and those in that upper middle class realm. And so one, those are the people who would have hurt the most over the last 18 to 20 months of the COVID-19 pandemic, right? Mm-hmm. Those are the persons who would have lost their businesses. Those are the people who would be in their 50s, 60s, and in some instances, 70s, and cannot qualify to go back to the bank for capitalization of another business. Those are the people who would have lost their mortgages and don't have the opportunity to retransition or reposition themselves to be able to get another mortgage. And so one, that's why I brought to your attention. This is why I was forced to call in, because I was just enjoying the conversation today, just to add that dimension of discussion. The government has to find a way through the studies to determine how it can more equitably apply. And remember, I said this one, because it will come up. the government will have to find a way that it can more equitably apply the taxation of VAT, even at 10%, so that those who are most able to are not paying the same as those who are least able to, and that will further grant a deeper tax break to those who are less able to, while giving the middle class an opportunity, one, to catch themselves. The government also has to find means by which it can alleviate the challenges of the people who pay the brunt of taxes in the country, being the middle class, not just poor people, one. There has to be some level of, you know, one, I promised myself, I let on this point, one, I promised myself that I would not get involved in these levels of discussions, except I was directly at the table, bringing what is put in my head to the table from me and not from anybody else. But in the interest of national discussion, I'm engaging, because I recognize that your show is one that brings a lot of critical data and allows for the opportunity to engage in these levels of high and technical discussions. And so I landed on that point right there, one. Government has to do a lot of deep thinking, and a lot of research has to be put into it in order to make it work, in particular for the people who carry the brunt of taxes in the country, being the middle class and the upper middle class. Thank you for the opportunity. Continue the great work, my brother.
Absolutely. You know, I understand what you're saying, Anton. That's going to be a tough road to go down. You know what I mean? So, look, there are ways we could... I'll get to your text messages. There are ways we could think about this, right? And I'm no guru or anything like that. I'm just making observations from what's out there. I'm not in the Ministry of Finance. I don't know what's happening, right? So, for instance, when they... I want to say this without causing alarm, because people think, like, I actually make policy decisions. But... or they listen to me and make policy decisions. Sometimes you have to think counterintuitively. So for me, one of the biggest issues with government, yes, there's a revenue issue, but there's a spending issue, man. And we got to figure out how to curb our spending. I know that sounds simplistic, but I'm being real. And so you go to me, well, Juan, what services do you want to cut? We have to look at it. Are we being honest in our spending? Are we honestly bringing the budget and going, this is all necessary, all of it, right? And are we afraid of making harsh decisions? Are we going to continue to let Bahamas Air lose $40 million a year? Really? And look at ourselves honestly? And be like, we're really solution-oriented? That's no disrespect to Bahamas Air. Are we going to continue to give out these election sweeteners, job programs, et cetera? The government has to do all that? I mean, come on. Sometimes you got to concentrate on a healthy economy and allowing the economy to grow to where people have the jobs available to give out to those young people, those first-time people, okay? Now, what I would do is, and you're going to get mad at me, when they raised the VAT rate, they put a threshold on BPL and water and sewage, I'd get rid of that. I don't know how much money I forget how much money they said they were foregoing with that. I'd get rid of that. And I'd just stop all these exemptions here and there for VAT. Of course, the special economic recovery zones, I'd let that stuff continue. If you want to stimulate the economy, right, there's people out there, you're not, I don't want people to think I'm elitist, you're not going to stimulate the economy by finding jobs for people through the government, all right, not to any great degree. What you need to do to stimulate the economy is find people, both foreign and domestic, who are willing to invest in the country, and invest not even in, say, building businesses. For instance, you have a lot of middle-class people who may have saved a lot of money, who've been renting for a while, or who own a property already, actually. And they're considering, they would consider, I want to build some apartments. But you know what? The property costs 200 grand. I'm not ready to pay 10% VAT on that. That's another 20 grand I got to come up with or borrow. I don't want to get into that level of commitment. And so some activity is stagnated. So you got to figure out the areas in which you could actually cut taxes to stimulate growth. You could generate real domestic investment, and you got to get real about your spending. Because we can continue this way, but you're not going to like where it leads. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Yeah, good afternoon, Mr. McCartney.
How's it going, man?
Not bad. Mr. McCartney, before I talked about equitable taxation, right?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like, well, it's an equitable taxation, but it's not fair.
I agree, yeah.
Yeah, so I guess he needs to get that correct, that, you know, but I feel like the government should do this. You know, they own the Fort Lauderdale Hotel, right? So what they need to do is afford what you call a workers' corps to own that hotel. You see, and jobs. You see, and that would bring out $400 as well.
Okay, I mean that's
so
an idea.
Things like that. You know, the other day someone was on, I think, the Harvard show, talking about ownership, how we need to own.
You're breaking up too much there. But I, you know, we could look at that. That's fine. We could also look at the tax on IBCs, which they say is going to happen, right? And we got to figure out what the knock-on effects on the GDP will be for that. And we could also look at income tax, but that's not something we can do like in the short term, and the efficacy of that in this environment, we're not sure about. All right? It says sign up online because it's accumulating. LOL. Yeah, I know. Can we have a show about real property tax to educate the listeners on it? I'm aware it's $250K and above are taxable, but I'm responsible for going into them to have your home appraised. No, you're not responsible. They conducted an exercise on New Providence a year or two ago with a company from Dallas where they appraise properties. I saw them through my HUD. I don't know what the number is on me. Says, I agree with you. One, CARICOM mandated the office of the spouse. Fred Mitchell is usually the first one to make sure other nations understand that we are sovereign, and they overstep when they attempt to mandate things for us. They need to get rid of that office, in my opinion. The budget for that can be better spent elsewhere. All right. We're fresh out of time. I see a lot of your text messages, but I couldn't... what does it say? When someone asked Shivargo about Bannister... fired Minnis, BPL board, and pick his own board. He said Minnis should have known about that through cabinet. One, that'll make sense. Why would Minnis order a probe? Then into his BPL statutory board being fired, and that means Minnis didn't pick the new board. I heard on the news that there was a real probe. He really didn't know. Wow. Apparently there was a real probe. Out from about a year ago that we have not yet seen. Interesting stuff. Well, we got to go. So we're out of time. Lord willing, we'll be back tomorrow. All right? You guys take care out there and have a great day, Bahamas.
The Revolution with Juan McCartney is sponsored by J.S. Johnson, Burger King, Commonwealth Bank, Marco's Pizza, Ron's Electric Motors, Scotiabank, and CG Atlantic.